dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, ZIP 6. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
All right, everybody. You're listening to Binary Revolution Radio with your host, Lucky225, that's me. And we got Steak Dog here, too, today.
Oh, can I be on the show this time?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So, yes, this is Binary Revolution Radio. For those of you who thought you might have tuned in on the wrong day, this is not default radio. That would be Fridays. There's a pimp for your show. How about that?
All right.
This is episode 48 of Binary Revolution Radio. Today is June 1st. I got it right on this take.
Yeah, June 1st. Take 5, by the way, for our listeners.
No, don't even go there. This is like take 20 because of your freak misadventures.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that a little later on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, let's see. We covered the date. We covered the episode. So, when everybody knows that you are the world-renowned Lucky225. So, I guess let's jump into some email, because we actually have a, you know, kind of a pattern that we do on the show. We go through the housekeeping. We talk about what's going on. So, had a lot of email feedback from previous episodes.
All right.
The first one comes from Profetus, who says, "Hi, Mr. Stank." I love when they say Mr. Stank. "I would first like to congratulate you for the great show last week, episode 46. So obviously this was two episodes. As an OS hobbyist, I really enjoyed the Plan 9 talk, but I felt a bit confused with the claim that Plan 9 is not Unix, or it has been built up from the ground. I knew I had some information from Plan 9, so went to check it out. Quoted from the design and implementation of the 4.4 BSD operating system, page 7 from author, I'm not going to read all these authors and stuff. We'll put in the show notes a link to this book. But it says, quote, from the 7th edition V7 of Unix 1978, which ran on PDP-11, came the variety called Unix 32V, a time-sharing implementation, which also gave origin to the famous System 5. And the Unix 32V was preceded by V8, Unix time-sharing system, then V9, then V10, which finished at 1996 with Plan 9.
Really?
According to this book, the design and implementation of the 4.4 BSD operating system. Boy, that's a long book title.
I thought AT&T had always claimed that Plan 9 was a totally different operating system than Unix.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to believe anymore. So it was actually ZeroDB who has experience with that. So I'm going to forward this email on to him to see what he has to say and see if he had heard such a thing. He and I actually did talk about it off the air and about how closely or how similar it was to Unix. You know, how it felt under the hood. It had to have some kind of Unix, it seemed like, but as far as what he had read up on about it, it did not. So, not really sure what the truth is here, but we'll sort it out. If anybody has some more information, by all means, email us in. But I'm going to pass it on to ZeroDB, see if we can possibly have him on again next week and touch on that again. So, and he also goes on to say, "I hope to hear more talks about operating systems." Yeah, we talk about operating systems all the time. It's, you know, I love talking about that, whether it's reviewing beta versions of Windows Longhorn, or actually alphas, I guess, not betas, We talk, obviously, about tons of different Linux distros. We have some Mac OS X episodes we've had with Logan 5 and stuff like that. We talk about Plan 9. Well, you know, we touch a lot of stuff.
I should really listen to your show more often. You got a demo version of that Longhorn?
Alpha? We've got a couple alphas floating around here and there, sure.
Yeah, you want to send that on over?
You got to remember where I work, dude, or where I used to work, but that's a topic for offline.
Box 1111 Guasti.
Yeah, right?
Send a copy on over to me.
Yeah, the latest alpha was so big I had to burn it to DVD. It wouldn't fit on a CD anymore.
Nice.
I know, dude. Talk about bloated. I mean, it's over 660 or over 700 megs compressed.
Yeah.
That's some big stuff, man.
Yeah.
That's a big operating system. So anyway.
Well, that's Microsoft for you, you know.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
Why fix it when it's broken? Just build on top of it.
Just cover it up. It's like spackle. You just spackle right over top of it.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks for the email. And, yeah, I'll pass it on. If we hear something back, we'll talk about it on a future show. Now, I got another email. We got a lot of email this week. Got another one from someone who sent his real name. And, of course, on this show, we don't drop docs. We don't read people's real names, and we're not going to do it here. But he says, "Hey, Stank Dog, I just thought I would drop you." I'm sure he means to say drop you a line. "Letting you know how much I enjoy your weekly radio show. The last two episodes reviewing Plan 9, Longhorn, and Open Office were very informative and have convinced me to take a serious look at Open Office. If nothing else, I believe that open source software such as this will make companies be innovative in the features that their product provides in order to retain their customer base."
Hey, what the hell is Open Office? I really need to listen to your show.
Dude, man. I'm gonna go on and say that you're so busy making Default Radio every Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern on DDP Hack Radio, that you don't have time to listen to all the other radio shows. I bet you listen to your boy Emmanuel's Off the Hook every week, though, don't you?
No, actually, I don't.
Yeah, come on now.
I stopped listening to that one back a couple of years ago when they stopped putting show notes because, you know, I didn't have time to listen to it when it was live. So I'd just check the show notes, and if there was something interesting in it, I'd go ahead and download it and listen. And then they stopped putting show notes in, so I was like, fine, I'm not listening to that shit.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, as long as we're off on this tangent, there's a rumor that you were on the show at one time. What was that about?
What?
Were you on Off the Hook once?
Oh, yes, yes.
And as the joke goes, you had your voice up an octave or two high?
I don't know. Seriously, if you go to
What episode? Do you remember when it was?
That's what I was just about to say. Let me do that right now, because I know if you go to 2600.com and in the search bar you type Lucky 225.
Oh man, you search for yourself on Google search.
No, and then you do a search 2600, and then yeah. That'll do a Google search, which does the Lucky 225 site colon 2600.com. Now, it's Off the Hook 0702. Let me see. I'll tell you which episode it is right now. I'm looking at the page. Mm-hmm. That would be the episode on July 17th, 2002. And, apparently, a lot of people say that on this episode, this particular episode, that my voice sounded a little bit deeper. And I don't know if that's just, like, the miracle of radio, or, you know, I don't know what to believe. But that's what people tell me. I'll download it right now.
So your voice was deeper on that episode, on Off the Hook, than it is now?
That's what I'm told.
Did somebody kick you in the jimmy between now and then, or what?
No, that's what I'm aware of. I have went to several DEF CONs where I may have blacked out a couple of times. I'm really sure.
All right, so everybody go check that. Was that your radio debut?
You know what?
Were you only on one episode?
Yeah.
And what'd you talk about?
Oh, Oh, God, hold on one second. It's, like, playing in the background here.
We're going to rehash the whole episode. It's an episode of Binary Revolution Radio. We're going to relive it.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I'm trying to turn the volume down so I can just sort of scan through this real quick. Yeah, that's nice. I don't want to register my music match crap that my mom has.
So wait, let me get this straight. While we're recording this radio show, you're listening to another radio show.
What a problem there.
Well, anyway, while you do that, don't let me distract you. Well, I'll go on reading this email. It also goes on to say, also, I thought that Hack TV was great and very entertaining. At first, I was a little confused about the car modding, but after watching it a couple of times, I really think that segment makes the whole show that much more interesting. Anyways, keep up the great shows. P.S. Watching the screensavers today, and it looks like Leo L. must have read your article in 2600 as he had a segment on robots.txt today. All right. First of all, open source software is here to stay. It's here. It's well done. It works. It works well. I mean, I don't know how much more we can tout it, how much more we can say about it. It works. And you just have to try it to realize that they are viable options now, that you can actually use these things. So I think that's pretty obvious. The box that I'm actually recording the show on, everything on this box is almost completely built, even though...
All right, hold on.
Oh, pardon me. Let me stop the show for
all right,
you.
Around 14 minutes. Here we go.
About their structure, about what kind of email they use, what their... They have this thing called HRID numbers. You know, we didn't know about that before. So we were actually able, actually, Lucky 225 is here from California. Use a little bit of social engineering once that memo was released, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. As soon as I got the memo, I actually went to a payphone out on Saturday, and there were several witnesses. Basically, I just dialed 00 for AT&T, and I tried social engineering the operator first, and she transferred me to the supervisor. And I told the supervisor I was with AT&T Security and that I'm sure she's seen the memos about the H2K2 conference in New York. She said, yeah, well, what do you need from us? I'm like, yeah, well, apparently some of the hackers there have hacked into the AT&T call center in New York and are transferring the supervisor calls to the hotel. And she goes, oh, my God. I'm like, all right, so to verify that you're a supervisor, I'm going to need your HRID number. She said, oh, well, oh, certainly, sir. And she pulls out her ID and gives me it right over the phone.
Yeah, so that's a little clip there from Off the Hook. I guess they, through the magic of radio, they deepened my voice.
There you go.
Sorry to interrupt you there.
I think you took a shot in the sack somewhere in the past 2 years that you don't remember. Lifted you up an octave or so.
Well, that could be possible.
There you go. There's the big boy voice. Oh,
I was on Off the Hook a couple of times. Alright.
Well, aren't you the famous one?
Just fucking around. Alright, get back to your email. Come on.
Do you even know? We're in the middle of an email. Do you even know what the subject on this one was before you went off on that tangent? No.
Just tell you the honest to God truth. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this person was talking about how in the earlier shows, I gotta recap my own co-hosts on what's going on. Oh man, this is great.
Co-host you ever had? Damn
yeah,
it.
you're a
co-host. Remember?
Oh man,
how I interrupt the show?
Yeah, you're defaulting my show all to hell, aren't you? All right. Anyway, kidding aside, we got this email about someone basically saying that he realized that OpenOffice and other open source softwares were a good thing and that companies really need to get on the stick using them. And of course, I was
I remember that shit. I was asking you about what the hell OpenOffice was.
Yeah, and you were asking me, and you said something about starting to listen to the show sometimes, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
I run a the box that I'm working on right now is a Windows XP box, but it's using almost completely open source software. If it's not open source, it's free software most of it is open source software. Everything that I use, I have OpenOffice on there, I have virus scanners, I have pretty much everything on here is open source software that I'm using. And I'm running and functioning day-to-day, doing pretty much everything that I can do with my system at work, which of course is borged out with all the Microsoft stuff on it. So works perfectly fine. So it's definitely viable, and it's for home use, for office use. I mean, it really is, you know, something that you can do. Now, the end of this, I don't know if you heard the end of this. He says, P.S. was watching screensavers today, and it looks like Leo L. I don't get this tech TV thing as screensavers, and I don't know who the hell Leo L. is. But
Leo's like one of the main dudes on screensavers.
Okay,
anyway.
Leo L. must have read your article in 2600 as he had a segment on robots.txt today.
Really?
Yeah, so, look, I don't get tech TV, like I said, but I don't know what's up with these ass goblins in the first place. It's like, once in a while, if they overlap some content, I can see it. You know, like, we had a thing a little while back, a few weeks ago, about Logic Stun Glove. We had a Stun Glove incident where they presented that on tech TV conveniently after he'd... It was very, very similar to his project that he talked about on RFA and in the forums and stuff like that. Now they're talking about robots.txt, which conveniently is right after I wrote an article in 2600 about it. I mean, it's like we're their script writers now. You know, we're providing them with content. So all I'm saying is, where's my check?
Yeah.
You know, where's my money?
Yeah.
I'm Rick James, bitch! Where's my money?
Yeah, they got the hookups. They got the hookups with Kevin Mitnick because Darcy used to work there. So whenever I write an article on caller ID spoofing or something, they just they bring Kevin on and try and use him for content.
Yeah, right. Now I'm going to.
I like the people over there at Tech TV. I don't know what's up with that. That is kind of weird.
Yeah, well, truth is, you know, all I did was robots.txt is nothing new. It's not some big. You know, I didn't give any super secret thing about it. You know, I just brought it to the public eye a little bit, made people read about it, made people start learning and researching it and stuff like that. So it could completely be coincidental that they presented it as well. Maybe I brought it into their eyes as well, and they decided the topic. So, you know what, I guess it's okay, but it just at some point you have to ask yourself, how many coincidences does it take? Is that the plural of coincidence, coincidences? Coincidence, I don't know.
Completely sure on that one, but
we had an English person. Somebody's going to check our English. He can get back to me. But you know, one coincidence after another, suddenly coincidences become a pattern, and they're not coincidences anymore. They're intentional. So I don't know when that happens or if that's happening, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to say, awakened to coincidences earlier this week. Actually, my mom had a dream that the feds came and
Uh-oh.
They were shutting down default radio.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, really weird, right? It's a weird dream. Like, what the hell is my mom doing dreaming about default radio? So that same day, like right after my mom got done telling me this story, I got an instant message from Doug, who also had a dream about default radio, saying that like he dreamt that like I showed up like or I didn't show up and they started the show like 30 minutes late, all kinds of weird stuff happened. Kind of freaky, man. That's kind of coincidental, I would think, for two people to have a dream about default radio on the same day.
I dream about default radio every night.
God.
Well, not really.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, it's kind of Twilight Zone-ish, man. I'm just saying. And robots.txt is kind of, you know, it's kind of known, you know?
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just brought it to people's attention, you know, because it's one of the, it's like, it's just kind of a quiet thing that people don't really care about too much or don't really think about too much because they don't need it. You don't really... It's one of those things that most people don't even bother using. But if you go out there and look around, you can find some interesting stuff and some stuff that was intended to be hidden that actually is not. But anyway, it's just again, it's just coincidental. Maybe they had been planning on doing that for a while, and I don't know. All I'm saying is, where's my money? Bitch better have my money. You gonna start using my material? I want to get paid. Because I don't make the bank like you guys do over on default.
Oh, yeah, we make so much bank.
I'm going to start charging you for airtime. That's what I should do. Make some money off of your ass.
Anyways.
All right, so anyway,
yes. I should be charging you for taking the courtesy of being on your show.
The privilege. all right, we have another email. Thank you for that email, by the way, unknown person, anonymous person. Got another email from one of our favorites, Pixel Fiend, and he says, Stank, another great show. I've wanted to look into RSS for curiosity's sake for a while. Gave me food for thought. Now, lucky to bring you up to speed. Last week's episode was on RSS, really simple syndication, XML. So he goes on to say, what I'm writing about is the topic of making yourself invisible to spammers. Naturally, spammers get email addresses from a variety of sources, but I've noticed that the bulk of the spam I get seems to come from my email address being posted on my company website. I found a neat site that creates a JavaScript that converts the email address into character codes that are bypassed by spam bots. I've used it in a few sites, and it's worked really well. Spam is reduced, but not eliminated. Of course, it depends on where you share your address. The site is, and he gives me the site that it's too long. I'm not going to read this on the air.
Tiny URL it, man.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that, too. Now, see, we'll put it up in the show notes so people can click through it. He says, it's easy enough to do by hand, but using the tool on the site is really fast and easy. The script is written by Josh Clark of Seattle Pacific University. Now, something else we talked about last week and why he brought this up was somebody had emailed saying that they don't get very much spam on their account, and they were wondering why. Because, you know, that is an anomaly to not get much spam, and I explained basically how the spiders, how the robots go out there and parse through pages looking for plain text email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the, you know, some of the ways that they work, some of the loopholes, some of the ways to avoid it, etc. And this also is a good suggestion, but let me break it down a little bit. First of all, I did go to this tool that he's talking about here. And I'll put the link in the show notes like I said earlier, but basically all this is it uses a little Java function that converts characters into their respective numeric representations. It's a function in the string Java class that can show numeric value in the code as a series of numbers that when reassembled, that is to say, when you execute that function call through a web browser, generally for most users, of course, will reform a valid email address that's fully clickable, it works, the system will, you know, send an email, open up your default mail application, at yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, so you have to have Java running to get the actual email address back.
Right, you have to have a browser that supports JavaScript, yes. Which, you know, most of them do.
Well, all the spammers have to do now is create a bot to get that information back.
Right, well, and that's can be done, but it is a lot more difficult. Now, like we said, what the bots normally do is they parse through that text to find basically the... let's simplify
it. That simple, right?
Yeah, let's simplify it. It's not this simple, but we'll simplify it for ease of explanation. Looks for an @ and or a .com and realizes that's probably an email address. Because one other trick that I actually did not mention this before, one other trick is there are CGI scripts out there, plenty of them, or any kind of script that will generate a bunch of fake email addresses that you can put at the bottom of your code in the comments part of your HTML. So no one sees it, it doesn't affect anybody, but it generates a bunch of fake email addresses so the spam bots fill themselves up with a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fighting back
well,
against them.
You know, I've always used this one. I don't use it. I just put my email as plain text because I don't really care about spam. I delete it anyways. But what I would use, or what I would suggest to use if you really care about spam, and you want to post your email address on your website, just put your email address as a JPEG and make it an image. So you have to actually be there looking at the page, you know?
Yeah, that actually is that's a very good suggestion, very good idea.
I mean, you know, like, here's my email. Like, but, hell, you're too lazy to type it, then I don't need a, you right. know, if you're too lazy to type the email address,
But the thing is, you want people to be able to, you want people to be able to click on it, though. That's the thing. You want people to be able to click on it and have it automatically start their default mail application and send you an email to your address. So you could put the visible text. You could remove the visible text and have just an image of that text there. But to make it clickable, you still have to put that href tag in there. You have to put that mail-to tag in there, excuse me. Put that mail-to tag behind it in the actual text of the code, and that does have to be a valid email address. So you can put the image there, but when you click on that image, it has to call a valid text email address. So even if you put the image visibly, which is a good idea, you still, if you want it clickable, that is, would have to have the email address. And if you don't make it clickable, then that's fine. It'll hide it, but it kind of, you know, defeats
maybe you could make it. Maybe you could make it clickable to some link that, but then that link just is made a refresh to another page that brings up your actual email. So when the spams are parsing through text, they never actually see an email address in that HTML. But when you actually click it, it goes to a different link that does have your email address in it.
Well, of course, spiders and robots follow links.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, actually, to go on with what this does and the way this works, it's a good idea along the same lines. Again, when this thing, when the bot looks through that text, it's looking for not only the visible text on the page, but the code. Of course, all that code is loaded and interpreted in your browser, so all that code behind it, and it looks for those plain text or common email addresses.
Yeah.
What this one does is by calling that string class, it's converting this thing. Let me see, how can I explain this without showing it? This is kind of a visual thing, but basically what this is doing is it's going to convert each individual character into a number value. It's a number to character cross-reference. It's completely unencrypted. Let's break this down very simply. It's an unencrypted one-to-one ratio. That's it. Like, as in, like, Little Orphan Annie decoder ring kind of translation. A equals 5, B equals 23, that kind of thing.
Yep.
That's really all that this is doing. So it's not complex, it's not encrypted or anything like that. So that is kind of a problem. That kind of is not real impressive to me. It's not going to be a big solution to the problem. It's going to help a lot, don't get me wrong. But since it is a simple one-to-one ratio like that, as long as a bot can recognize that it's being used, it can easily reverse it.
Yeah.
If 1 equals 5, if A equals 5, 5 obviously equals A. You can reverse it very easily.
Yeah, now, but I mean, for most of the big-time spammers, they're not going to have software readily available to do this. So now the little work at home, they get all their income from the spam. You know, that guy might develop a little program so that he can go through that because he wants to get every email address he possibly can.
Right, but these spammers, that guy writes it and then distributes it about to all his little sub-spammers and all his little people that he convinces to, you know, for every 1,000 email addresses, he pays them, you know, $5 or something on PayPal.
But then again, if you think about it, these spammers, I mean, the reason they're spamming is they want your business. So, I mean, I guess if you're using a script like that, I mean, logically, the spammer shouldn't even bother, like, trying to make a decoding script, because you obviously don't want their spam, so why would they even bother spamming you?
Well, you're using the word logic and spammer in the same sentence, and I think you know better.
Oh, God, that's true.
Now, the author of this thing claims that spammers would not execute every JavaScript code on every page due to the fact that it's very CPU intensive. Now, this is not exactly true, and there's two reasons. First of all, they don't really care how much CPU time is used, especially if they've compromised a machine somewhere, or, like I said earlier, they spread this out to other people. It's not just one spammer. They spread this out to different agents, and they pay for how many email addresses they return to them. So, you know, systems that are compromised, systems that are public, systems that they don't care about, they may go to a public university or a coffee shop or some shit like that and turn it loose. So they don't care about how CPU intensive it is in a lot of cases. And two, and more to the point, and this is why I don't think this is the ultimate solution. Again, don't get me wrong, this is a good solution, but this is not. They don't have to execute every bit of JavaScript that they see. The bot, again, is looking to try to recognize things out there that it can use, recognize an email address in the simplest form. I mentioned last week that old trick that people put in, like, they'll put in, for example, Lucky225, and instead of using the at sign, they'll use parentheses at parentheses. You know, so that people would have to change that to an at sign or something like that, like that's going to stop them. The bots can be programmed to look for that string just as easily as an at sign. And with this right here, all they have to do is the class here, the what's being executed is string.fromCharCode or from character code. It's a function that does this one-to-one conversion we talked about earlier. So it doesn't have to execute every one of them. It just has to look for that one and identify it. And if it finds it, then execute it, get the new converted email address, and add it to its database just as easily.
Oh,
so
see the other string that you're talking about, like, you know, adding characters and whatnot. I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well just make an image because it's not clickable anyways. You're still going to have to change something.
Exactly.
And take an image, you know.
There's small things you can do, small things that you can help. But, you know, to me, if you're going to do it, I want it to be really effective. I want a solution. I don't want a temporary fix or patch. You know, you got to solve security problems. You can't just, you know, half-ass it. So this is actually a pretty good one. I do recommend. This is something I do think people should do. People should use this. Again, I'll put the link up, but frankly, you don't need... All his link does is it kind of automatically does it for you and gives you some cut-and-paste code. But if you want, just all you got to do is if you know how, or you can look up that string.fromCharCode, learn how that works. It's a one-shot command deal, and there's nothing to it. You can write it yourself. If you can use that function or read how to use that function, you can write that yourself, add it to your code. I do think it's a good idea, and I think it will probably stop at least 90%. And that's pretty darn good these days, stopping spam. So that's one of the best solutions out there. It's not infallible is all I'm really trying to say. If I really wanted your email address and that's what you were doing, oh, I have no doubt I could get it. No problems.
Yeah.
No problem. All right, so, man, this is going to be like the all-email show because we got a lot of great emails this time. So let's see, another one here from Nick84. He sent some...
Oh, great.
Yeah, he sent us some statistics. I'm sure you... Actually, you can give him some shots for hooking up default last week.
Oh, yeah.
But on BinRev last week, we, again, were talking about RSS news feeds, and I used him as an example because he provides some feeds from his site, rootsecure.net. I should put you on the spot and quiz you to see what the name of his site was, but I won't do that. He sent me some stats about his RSS news feed because we were talking about it online. His hits for the month of April, he sent me May so far, but the last complete month, which was April, he had 166,000, almost 167,000 hits. And we were kind of talking online, he and I, about what that really means as far as a hit count with RSS. And there's an article in the current Wired magazine, actually, about RSS and is it clogging up the web or something. I haven't actually gotten to read that article yet, so I may be repeating something they've said accidentally. But, that's all right. I'll still claim that I said it first, and I'll recuse them of ripping me off like Tech TV. Because I'm silly like that. All right, the thing is, with this, I'm not sure exactly. It actually reminds me of advertising, like banner ads and stuff like that, as far as trying to determine a good way to measure it. And that what I mean by that is, does it really matter how many people see a headline? For example, if his RSS feed has 10 links in it, and every time, here's an example. FL2600.com, my local 2600 group, I have... the RootSecure.net, one of the RootSecure.net feeds on it.
Yeah.
Every time someone visits my homepage, the FL2600.com homepage, it's going to reach out, grab that RSS feed, and display it to that person. So they're going to get a hit that was pulled from his site.
Mm.
Now, does that really mean anything? Every single person that comes to my page, intentionally, accidentally, hell, they just come to log in and check something, their email or something like that, they don't even look at that sometimes. They may not even notice that it's there, yet it gets a, quote, hit because it was actually loaded and accessed.
Yeah.
So for every page out there that your RSS feed gets on, it goes to call back and it generates a, quote, a hit. So we kind of were talking about, well, you know, that's not exactly a good unit of measurement, I don't think anyway, in my opinion. But at the same time, would you measure the click-through like you would on a banner ad? Is a click-through, is that the way to measure it? Does that count as a hit too? Because the way his feeds work, for example, is a lot of his feeds come from other sources, and when you click through, yes, you do go through his site for a second, but then you arrive at the destination of the article that you're looking up, the article that you want to read. So I'm not really sure if that... I guess that's the best way of measuring. I mean, am I making sense at all?
Yeah, you're making sense, and I've always thought this about web pages is there really is no way to measure... There's no way to measure your viewers, you know. A hit is a hit, and that's about all you can count on. You know, it's just like you really have no way of knowing who's going there. You know, they could be going through 20 different proxies and shit. You know, and I never really understood hits or why anyone cares about them.
Yeah, it especially every hit is actually includes every graphic on your page, every link box, every whatever that you have on your page counts as a hit. So, you know, like to load up the BinRev homepage, that probably has, I don't know, 100 hits or something on it because all the little graphics here and there. So one
like
visit...
Whenever I go to BinRev.com, I get a...
You never go to BinRev.com. Shut up.
Oh, I do. And every time I go there, I've went for my mom's computer, for my laptop, for my old laptop, for my friend's laptop... from a public library. Every time I went to the main site, all the pictures are little X's. Never got any picture to load on that page.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's strange.
I want to ask your listeners about that. I argued with Dakota about this earlier. And Dakota said, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It must be your internet settings because mine works fine.
Yeah, I've never had anybody report that, so I don't know. If anybody listening has that, by all means, email me. Yeah, I don't... That's news to me, dude. I've never...
Oh, hold on. Oh, my God. That was the weirdest. I know. Oh, shit. Great. Woo.
So...
I cooked those babies.
What's that?
I put some saltine crackers with pepperoni and shredded cheese. And I put them in the microwave, but I meant to put 10 seconds, and I put a minute.
Oh man! All right. Well, those are going to be yummy.
Oh man!
It's 2:30. It's 2:30 a.m. It's 2:30 in the morning, and you're eating saltine and cheese crackers. Oh wait a minute! I forgot. You're not. It's not 2:30 there in Cali land.
Yeah. Pretty good though.
Are they burnt real bad?
No, they're good.
Maybe I'll go make some after the show's over.
Oh God.
All right. So anyway, yeah, measuring the hits. That's an interesting topic of debate, and it's as far and the same thing like people ask about how many hits this and how many hits to that. Hits are irrelevant if you actually understand what's going on, and you absolutely are right. The only thing that I use to is some sort of measure of growth or try to see is, I mean, they're significant in to watch them rise as the site grows. You can watch the growth. But as an individual statistic standalone that you could analyze, it's not really worth it. The only statistic I really look at that means anything to me is not just visits, but unique visits. Every day, if someone comes to the site and it's done by session variables, every session visit. So if you minimize, if you go to BinRev first thing in the morning or any site, what's your Verizon fears? You go to any site, you load it up first thing in the morning and minimize it. When you come back later on that day, however many hours later, it's still the same session, and it's still going to show up really as one visit. So to me, that's the best way to measure how many people are coming because it's a little bit more unique. It's still going to have some room for error because if you close the window and reopen it later, it's probably going to count that as another unique visit. But that's better than visits in general, so...
Well, and even...
Now you're going to try to talk while eating crackers with saltine and melted burnt cheese?
Sorry. Even ones that are that don't count, if you count, some of them, if you come from the same IP within 24 hours, even though it's a different session, it's the same IP, they say, oh, well, that's not unique.
Right.
You know, but even with that, I mean, you know, they're like me, I used to go through many different proxies. No matter what website I went to, like, the next link that I click or whatever, it would cycle to a different proxy, and it would go through a different IP address. So, you know, just because a new session is opening up, and just because it's coming from a different IP, doesn't necessarily mean that
right.
it's a unique hit.
Absolutely right.
So, I mean, even unique hits aren't really unique.
Right.
You know.
Absolutely. So, it's going to be interesting to see how this RSS thing works out as far as trying to measure hits and things like that. And it is going to become a topic of debate, I foresee. People are going to want to know how many hits and how many people are using their feeds, because especially if it does start eating up a lot of bandwidth. I mean, you can make RSS feeds of as long as you want, as many topics as you want, and start syndicating. You know, it stands for really simple syndication, but it could be very complex. You could use it for a lot, you know, a high traffic thing to really syndicate news out to other sites. So, and Yahoo is supporting it with My Yahoo soon, and I mean that may very well happen. If you get a big portal like Yahoo involved with something like this, it could really explode, and people are going to want to be able to measure it. All right, so we have one last email, and I think you can relate to this one. This email comes from Kleptic, because I know you're not reading the show notes, so I'll kind of keep you in the loop here. This one is from Kleptic. He says, "Hey guys, Kleptic here. Just listened to last week's episode, and I would like to thank you boys." Hey, you see a boy, punch him in the face and give him $5. "I'd like to thank you men for talking about hackers and freakers that need to just unplug from everything now and then. As some of you know, I've been unplugged for about a year and a half. I popped in every now and then, but I am just now coming back on a full-time basis. But while I was gone, I had a few people try to contact me and find out why I left when my reasons were personal, and that is quite annoying. But thanks for talking about that last week. It hit close to home, and thanks for mentioning me as an example."
Oh, yeah, definitely, I mean, some of our friends, I think, lately have unplugged. I've been calling the conferences, and no one's been out there. No one's on the DDP.
Yeah. Hey, half of DDP, actually more, almost all of DDP is unplugged right now. People
really?
Just have real life stuff, you know, and it's completely understandable, and some of it is personal reasons, some of it is personal, but they've, like, for example, we know that Duel's been married recently. Can't blame the guy for unplugging for a while for that. You know, I'm in the process of possibly switching jobs or looking around, so I've been real busy. I'm staying plugged in as much as I can, but people have stuff like this going on, so a lot of people right now are unplugged in general. So I'm glad people could understand and relate to that. I read his on the air, but we got a lot of other emails saying pretty much the same thing. A lot of people seem to really understand and relate to that, and I'm glad to hear that. I really am, because, you know, we've been hearing a lot of people saying, "Where's so-and-so, and what's going on with this, and how come I haven't heard from that?" You know what? Sometimes people just need to be left alone, and that's it.
Yep.
So I'm glad a lot of people understood, so that was very cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, I don't know, dude. Sometimes you gotta unplug. I mean, I used to be unplugged, you know, back when I was in junior high and high school and everything. I mean, you know, it did take an interest in me. But, I mean, at school, you know, I was unplugged every year until summer rolled around, and I'd come back in the scene. And summer really is the best time, though. I have to admit that for the scene. It seems that everyone plugs back in right around summer.
Exactly.
Things start happening, and I don't know, it's like magic or some shit. I don't know. It's fucking like all the freaks come out at summer. Great.
Yeah, and, you know, we have people in the forums that have just announced, you know, that they've been unplugged for school, and they're coming back exactly like you said, from the summer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just because of, you know, our people our age and whatnot, you know, the age group of our people who are technologically involved generally range from, you know, mid-teens to early 20s, and it just seems like the summer is a great time for everyone to get back together and, you know, share what's new and what's hot and everything. And, of course, we got the conferences and everything going on during the summer, and I don't know. It just seemed to me, back when I was in high school, that, you know, I used to know people strictly on the phone. These weren't people that I talked to online or IRC like I do nowadays. But it used to be, you know, I'd meet someone, like, that was all wheat and shit, and they'd always have good info and everything. And, you know, I was always talking to them on some telco bridge, you know, and freaking in the middle of Iowa or something, you know. Out in the summer, and it's like I had no contacts to these people. Some of them didn't even have internet access. These were just phone freaks that, you know, they came across a lot of lead shit. And, you know, it seemed like the next summer I'd meet up on, we'd just run into each other on another phone bridge, like in the middle of nowhere. Just, it's really weird. Like, summer seems to unite all the freaks for some reason. It's really weird.
Well, then that's, you know, maybe, like you said a minute ago, maybe the bridges will start picking up now. You said they've been kind of dead a little bit lately, and maybe now they'll start picking back up again. I know we were posting some bridge numbers out in the forums once in a while and scheduling times that were good for everybody and hooking up, and I think that went well. Maybe we need to try some stuff like that again. But then you just, yeah. you get the people out there who I will leave nameless. I don't know if you will, but you get these people that come out and start, you know, being asses.
Oh, well, that's totally understandable. You know, and a good bridge that used to be around was the SoCal Bridge. And I think I'm gonna have to get back to you guys on this one, but I think that might be coming out again this summer.
Cool.
So hopefully someone in that CO will set that bridge back up.
Very cool. All right, well, let's close up the mailbag. Like I said, that ended up taking a lot of time because we had a lot. Those were really good emails, and, you know, on point, on topic. You know, people asking good questions, follow ups. That's, you know, I like to read stuff like that because it makes me go do more research and learn more about the topic and go into some more depth. Because, you know, I'm glad that we went into some more depth about this email topic, and he brought up a new topic because, you know, let's think this all the way through, and maybe we'll actually come up with or invent a spam solution. We'd be like everybody's hero if we actually came up with some way to really, truly control spam.
Yeah. Well,
unfortunately,
you know,
that's not real high on my to-do list. I got too many other things right now, but
unfortunately, you know, I'm, like I said, I put my email address in plain text for the simplistic reason that I just don't care, and I go through every single email with a fine-tuned comb, whether or not it looks like spam to me, I want to verify that it is. You know, and I'm just one of those people that I don't believe in filtering or screening or anything like that. Like I used to always argue with Decoder and everyone else. You know, when my phone rings, you know, I don't have caller ID or anything. I pick up the phone and I answer it like a man. I don't be a pussy and fucking let my answer machine get it or something like that. You know, but when my phone rings, I'm meant to answer it. And, you know, whoever's on the other line, better speak up, you know. You're calling me for a reason. You know? I don't believe in screening or anything like that. You know, I go through all my email and I answer my phone when it rings. I don't depend on services to do things for me.
Well, I don't know if you... yes, I do know this. I know you haven't listened to that episode. There was an episode where I had mentioned how many pieces of spam I get on my work email address. And, I mean, in any given day, you know, I'm getting hundreds, literally, 200 to 300 emails, and maybe out of 300, maybe 30, 20 to 30 are legitimate. I mean, are you really gonna go through 300 emails per day with a fine tooth comb? I mean, I'm being realistic. I'm not trying to be a smartass. I'm being realistic. I put my, I do the same thing you do. I completely agree. I put my email address out there in plain text all over the place as well. Because for the most part, the ones that I'm doing that with, my Stank Dog, I've got Spam Assassin, which filters out the obvious spam. And then the stuff that I'm left over with is daily maybe 5 pieces of spam. And that's manageable. I can easily hit delete 5 times or select and control that and control and select the spams and delete them, and it takes a couple of seconds. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I agree with you completely on that. However, at my place of business, I get so much spam that it becomes intrusive, and it is a pain. It is a problem.
Yes, I can certainly understand that, but I mean, I can understand that spam might be a temporary solution. But you know what I would do is I'd go back and I'd find these spammers, you know, and I'd put myself on a, you know, those do not spam list and everything, and when they continue to do it, I'd pursue a prosecution on them.
Well, and we talked about that on the show at one point too, about how there are laws that are coming out that are finally giving people these options, because in the past, until very recently we never had that as an option. You know when it finally became an option? When some congressman somewhere got one too many pieces of spam himself and it became a personal issue to him. He got one too many pictures of click here for hot barnyard action or click here for add 8 inches to your penis size. She will love you. He got one too many spams and it became a personal issue to him. That's finally what motivated some people to do this.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's jump out of the housekeeping and do a little quick show and tell, a little quick hacking stories. I'm way behind on my reading, and I've got like 5 issues of Wired magazine open halfway because I got bored with them. So, one I'm reading right now, I think it's April issue, had an article about Adrian Lamo, a.k.a. the homeless hacker. Now, I know a lot of people just don't like this guy in general and bash on him and stuff, and I don't have a problem with him per se. I'm just really tired of hearing the homeless hacker. That's just such a lame thing to say. Who are you? I'm the homeless hacker. You know what? Like a big HH on his chest or something. What the? I mean, seriously. I don't get it. It's just getting on my nerves hearing that phrase over and over again. That's what I don't like about it. That's getting on my nerves. But as far as the guy, you know, he does what he does. Hey, he's busted. He's going to have to deal with that kind of stuff, yada, yada, yada. But he doesn't bother me personally, but I'm just tired of the media.
That's
always
a media connotation, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just tired of the media labeling him. Yeah, I'm just tired of the media labeling him that. I mean, call him a hacker. Call him homeless. But stop calling him the homeless hacker. Seriously. So I'm in the middle of reading that article right now. It's not very impressive, I have to say, honestly. I've been updating the gallery, and by the time you guys hear this episode, the gallery will be changed. And I'm in the process of cleaning it up. I don't know if I'll be done with all that, but I'm cleaning it up, getting rid of some junk out there. Some people are starting to abuse it again. So this was overdue, and I didn't want to do this. I was trying to be nice and just let anybody use it. People could upload anonymously. They could go in there and post pictures without having to register, stuff like that. But I'm going to have to start putting a lock on that so that people have to register with an email address and create an account so that other people can't modify and change and move and yada, yada, yada. So unfortunately, that is what it's come to. So that should be up very soon. And I spent this holiday weekend finishing up my Hope presentation. I don't know if it's going to be a Hope presentation. I've emailed them offering. I don't know if they actually are interested. But a Hope presentation that I've been working on for a while. So that's really been the majority of my holiday weekend was spent working on that.
And you're talking about the Fifth Hope, the conference that's coming up in New York, New York.
Right.
9th through 11th.
That would be the one. So I won't put you on the spot here, but I will open up the floor. It's anything you've been working on lately you want to talk about? Besides default radio.
Well, put me on the spot there. What the fuck?
Yeah, you know, if you would have read the show notes, you would have seen that this is your part of the show.
Oh, really? Really? Well, I haven't really been working on much. I've been looking online for a new cell phone. I've been getting pissed because I got my 6340i here, the unlocked one that has been sitting around here for a few months. I think I talked about this on either Default, another episode of BinRev, or one of these shows.
They run together after a while, huh?
Yeah, they really do, but, I got the 6340i, which is a Gate phone. That's a G-A-I-T, phone, which is a TDMA and GSM compatible phone. It's unlocked. I've tried putting a T-Mobile and a Singular SIM in, and they work fine. I tried a Blue AT&T SIM, and it worked fine. But my SIM card, which is a white Gate SIM card, does not work in this phone for some reason. It says phone restricted is what it tells me. And I'm trying to figure out as to why it tells me the phone is restricted. I really don't get it, because I have two T62Us here, Sony Ericssons, which are both Gate phones, and I figured maybe because of the ESN that's programmed onto the white Gate SIM card was a different ESN, than the 6340i. Maybe that's why it wouldn't let me use the phone, because obviously it couldn't use TDMA. But I tried putting the SIM card in a different T62U that has a different ESN number, and it works fine. So I don't really quite understand it, why when I put this white SIM card into my 6340i, it just tells me phone restricted, as if the phone were locked. If anyone has any input on that, I really appreciate it. I know I've already talked about this before. I called up AT&T Wireless today, and they told me there's actually three different types of SIM cards that AT&T Wireless puts out. There's a Blue SIM card, which is a GSM-only SIM card. And those ones I know for sure, they work in my 6340i. And then there's two Gate SIM cards. There's the one that I have, which is a white SIM card with a black AT&T logo. And there's a newer type of Gate SIM card that's a white SIM card with a blue AT&T logo. Now I'm thinking maybe if I get one of these new SIM cards, it'll work. I'm not really sure. If anyone has any input on that, I'd really fucking appreciate it. I just want to use this phone. It's like, it'd be nice if AT&T offered the 6340. I could just buy it from them, but I'm getting tired of using the T62U, you know. It looks like a dildo or something. I'd rather, seriously, it looks like a feminine product here.
I'd rather
use the Nokia. It looks more professional, and you know, I hear it's got better signal strength, too, so... If anyone has any input, if they could lead me to water or something.
And that would, of
really
course,
appreciate
be
it.
Lucky 225 or just plain old Lucky at Default Radio?
It's Lucky 225
at
defaultradio.com or Lucky 225 at 2600.com.
Oh, please,
no,
don't quit name dropping.
Hope there's no spam bots that are
listening.
This WAV file.
Audio spam bots?
Yes.
Man, I can't believe you just name-dropped your at 2600.com address.
What are you talking about?
Jeez. Am I going to have to email and get and see what the hell's going on with mine? I don't need it. Damn it. I don't like I need another email address. I should use that one as the
what?
One that I sign. I should use that
but
to register.
At 2600.com yet?
Huh?
You don't have a 2600.com email yet?
No. I've never pushed for it. I never got the shell. I never got the... Am I supposed to have a lifetime subscription and stuff by now?
You should.
I've never pushed
for
it. Yeah, I just never bothered to push for it. I don't care. I write for the fun of it and for the, you know, giving back to the community, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm thinking now, maybe I should get it and then I should register at all these sites and stuff and use that email address and let that be the spam bot. Let all the spam go to them.
Ha ha ha. Good.
All right. Anyway, I don't know, man. What do you think? We wrap it up here? Or?
Yeah, definitely.
We're about an hour now before mixing in everything. So yeah, I guess it's probably.
Oh, yeah, because I have some more content, but I think I'll save that for Friday. Default
Fridays on DDP Hack Radio. Yep. And Rant Radio, of course. We don't want to leave them
out. And we also stream on Rant Radio.
Exactly.
What?
I pimped out Rant Radio, don't worry. And all right, so let's go to the shouts. I'm going to give shouts first so I can take away your easy one. I'm going to give shout outs to Default Radio. Everybody at Default Radio, so they're off. They're already done. You can't use them.
All right.
So shouts to Default Radio, everybody there. And you know what? You mentioned earlier. I'll give shout outs just in general to everybody who's plugging back in for the summer. Going to be around for a few months. Welcome back. So shouts out to them. And why don't you go? What kind of shouts you got?
I'm going to give a shout out to Nick84. He's definitely the man. He's been hooking us up. Let's see. Give a shout out to White Sword because he's trying to make my modem disconnect even though I'm on a cable internet.
What?
Yeah, he messaged me with +++ 880. What a moron. Anyway.
Can I say, don't shout him out on my show. Don't do that.
Right.
Are you going to shout out Tron next?
All right. Well, my next shout out then would go to Strom Carlson, I guess pre-lead. And also, Mark Bernay.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be my shout.
That's your shout? You're not gonna drop a manual in there?
No.
Suck up a little bit? You already dropped the 2600.com address. I'm just trying to see where the line is. You already played your off-the-hook clip. I'm just trying to see how much you're going to be on his jock before the end of the episode. That's all.
Whatever.
You know what? Seriously, and shouts to you. Thanks for being on the show. You know, we've been joking around. It's kind of been a fun show. I would like to have you on for a future episode and talk about some serious privacy topics and stuff like that. I do have some things that I want to bring up that are on my list of topics to talk about in the future, and I know that's something that hits home to you, so we'll do a serious episode sometime upcoming in the future.
Definitely.
So thank you, my friend, for being on. Again, feedback for in general about the show, you can send to radio@benrev.com. Article submissions, articles@benrev.com. Our closing music this week is from a group called Beatallica, which is a cross between the Beatles and Metallica. You have to listen, I guess, to see how that works. This is Sandman, classic song, Enter Sandman. So that will do it. So, Lucky, thank you again for being on the show. And I don't know if you listen to the show enough to know how we end every week. But, of course, we tell everybody that we will see them next week. Same hack time.
Same hack tale?
You got it. And we're out.